collector, and the Statlers told me it was theirs too. They played trivia with it on the bus, and they didn't get them all. They said it'd been too many years and too many songs. Happy Birthday USA. Beginning in 1970, they sponsored a celebration in their hometown of Stanton, Virginia, to help the charities in their local area. They would invite performers to come in as guests. These guests perform free of charge. There was no charge to fans for this concert, but local charities would put up crafts, food stands, and this was the way they helped local charities raise money. They did this until 1994. They said 25 years is long enough to be doing any one thing. It's time to let somebody else do it. And so this is the details on the guests who were present at each of those celebrations. A chapter on the Statler Brothers in television. This is details on their three award-winning TV specials that they did in the 1980s. A listing of songs they sang on each television show, which began in 1991. Its original air date, and including titles which the Statlers have never recorded for commercial release. The appendix, let's see, and a list of their awards is in chapter 11. Then their appendix includes a chronological listing, some information on their pre-Columbia recordings. Before they came to Nashville and started recording for Columbia Records, they were recording in and around the Stanton area under the name of the Kingsmen, and they were recording as backup for local groups. And so we have some information on those recordings. And then any miscellaneous appearances such as TV and radio commercials. There's a composer index, a musician and guest artist index, and a song title index. Next one. Okay, this is a sample page from the book to show you exactly how I have divided it up. This is a complete session showing date, time, studio, musicians that were present, the instruments they played, song titles at this session, the composer, publisher, clearance, and releases for this title. This particular page also shows overdubs, which gives a date and time, and studio if it's different from the original session, studio. Beside the top title, My Only Love, this symbol here is a VCR play button. That's what I have used to denote titles that were made into music videos. And that's something for which there are no rules for discographies either, if somebody would like to work that out. A note from the Mercury Files, specifically about a title or a session, and showing the session divisions. Okay, the music of the Statler Brothers. Jerry Kennedy, who has been their producer for the last 26 years, has been very, very helpful in spending time with me and helping to explain how to read musician union contracts and musician union time cards, which can be very confusing. And in talking to him about the instrumentation that was used on Statler Brothers records, especially in the early 70s, you'll find a lot of vibraphone, strings, horns, electric sitar, and the use of a fretted dobro and a slide dobro on the same song. And I asked Jerry if this wasn't unusual, and his response was, not if they recorded at Mercury. Their music can be divided into several categories. The first one is autobiographical, and we have some lyrics for this for you to listen to. This one is We Got Paid by Cash, written by Harold Reed and Don Reed, and recorded in April of 1980.
It started March of 64, many years ago. We were hired by Johnny Cash to open up his show. Four boys, a worn-out Cadillac with a roadmap on the day. For the next 8.5 years, we got paid by cash. He took us down to Nashville to Columbia Studio. Not knowing where we came from, they told us where to go. But Johnny said, I like it, don't you give them no trash. You see, we were Johnny's little boys, and we got paid by cash. there when June became Johnny's loving bride. And we sang to him that morning, our buddy Luther died. And we were there when the sun was born that filled them both with pride. And we were there when John remembered God was on his side.
They also wrote about the music industry. This next song is one entitled Where He Always Wanted to Be. And I have learned, as I'm sure a lot of you have who have had things published, the frustration of getting everything proofread and then finding you still didn't get it all. I'm say this is one of them. This particular title, Jerry Kennedy tells me this Wednesday. I get in town Wednesday and I find this out. This was done on a 24 track, and he said, the story, the song Where He Always Wanted to Be is the story of a young man who wants to become a country singer and what he does to achieve his goal. And so they make this a country music history lesson. And Jerry said, we just wanted to fill up all 24 tracks, so look at the guess. I'm going to try to point out to you where these are in the song. And they used all 24 tracks on this. There are some where there's one right behind, one right after the other. There's one, two, three. So you'll have to catch them quickly or you'll miss them. And there's only one that is behind a set of lyrics. And that's Shorty Lavender's doing the original Ray Price Zip Zip Fiddle Lick. Jerry Kennedy said, I wouldn't have called it that, but he didn't write the liner notes. That one is behind the words, He Checked In. Okay, let's go ahead. Starts right here.
While his friends were rocking round the clock inside the high school gym, he was out back in his pickup truck picking up WSM. Carl Perkins and Roy Orbison were blasting in the hall. Outside, Carl Smith and Roy Acuff and the Wabash Cannonball.
That graduation speaker told every boy and girl it was their American duty to go forth and save the world. But the only part he wanted to save was Nashville, Tennessee, the home of country music where he always wanted to be. He checked in the Music City at the Sam Davis Hotel, bought his mom an electric picture of the woman at the well. Just a short walk to the stage door of the Grand Ole Opry, he was getting a little bit closer to where he always wanted to be.
Oh, Benny Bird now. He told anyone who'd listen, I'm gonna be a star. They'd smile and keep on walking and say, yeah, I'm sure you are. He'd shake his fist and tell them, just you wait and see. Today you are country music, but tomorrow I will be.
He's done everything he wanted to and more than he planned. He's got two silver eagles and another one for the band. He's got three ex-wives in Nashville and another in L.A. Gold records and a TV show and taxes he can't pay. Two kids he never gets to see and will never get to know. But he's had 18 number one records in a row. He never sees the lights of home cause there's no home to see. But he's in country music where he always wanted to be.
Jerry and I are still having a conference about whether that's really a Grady Martin chord or a Chet Atkins chord. He said, I'm going to have to call the guys, and they're on the road right now, so. It may be a while before we know for sure if that's Grady Martin or Chet Atkins. Okay, they wrote about the music industry, and they also wrote about country music in particular. And when this next song was written, there were some changes occurring in country music, and they wrote about those changes. And they also wrote about how those changes applied to them. This one is entitled Nobody Wants to Be Country, written by Harold and Don Reed in April of 1980.
It's the downright rattle. What happened to the fiddle? And we missed the good old road. Country music was here when you came, and it will be here when you go. Nobody wants to be country. Everybody wants to go pop. They'll be in clover when they cross over. Country fans do not get their kicks on rock and roll lakes. Somewhere will it all stop when nobody wants to be country and they all go pop. We'll be the only ones left in country who didn't go pop, 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 pop.
Sounds like they always have fun with their music. That's one reason I enjoy it so much. Another category which they are well known for, and they have been accused of starting, was the nostalgia trend. They really didn't. There's things that you can call nostalgia can be divided into three different areas. One of those is just plain old growing up, and this is the one for which they are probably the best well known. Do you remember these? November 1971.
Saturday morning, cereals, chapters 1 through 15. Fly paper, penny loafers, Lucky Strike cream. Flat tops, sock tops, Duty Baker, Pepsi, please. Do you remember these?
This is the first of many what became known as catalog songs. Another one that's real popular that most people remember is one called The Movies, where they used one movie title right after another. And one line in that song goes, "Thank you, Thomas Edison, for giving us the best years of our lives." Another subdivision of nostalgia is what I call history. They made a trip to Washington, D.C. and visited all of the regular tourist sites in Washington, and then they wrote Nothing as Original as You, written by Don Reed, January of 1979.
Gone the day I saw the first airplane that flew, touched the moon rock, and saw a senator at the zoo. Got lost seven times on Pennsylvania Avenue. But even here, there's nothing.
The second line of that chorus says, "Touched a moon rock and saw a senator at the zoo." And I've always wondered, was the senator visiting the zoo or was he a resident? They don't tell you. The last subcategory of nostalgia is one that is very near and dear to the hearts of the Statler brothers. It's something that means a lot to them and it's very important. This particular song also illustrates their love of playing with words. And I'm not going to tell you the title of it because it'll give it away. Go ahead.
She's seen me through lots of trouble. She stayed up nights so I could sleep. She's given me more than comfort. She's given me something I can keep. I love her and I need her.
Who are they singing about?
And I want to be with her all the time.
Could be his wife.
I fight just to keep her.
A girlfriend?
And I'd die if I thought she wasn't mine. I love her every morning. Thank God for her every night. I worship the ground she stands on.
Title of that is You've Been Like a Mother to Me. They are very patriotic and they make no bones about it. Another category of their music that I want to touch on is comedy. And their comedy turned out to be a documenting of history. And some have never heard this before, and I know there are a lot who have, and those who have enjoy it very much. It's a parody of local hometown radio in its early days. If you've ever heard it or been there, then you know. These are professional musicians. I haven't forgotten it. Wait a second, Paul.
Mighty fine, mighty fine. Hey, hey, and howdy to everybody out there in radio land. This here's Lester Moran, old road hog, and his Cadillac Cowboys. Mighty neighborly of you to let us in your living rooms for the next 15 minutes of good old country music. We're coming at you this morning through the courtesy of Burford's Barbershop. You can always get clipped at Burford's. That's B-U-R-F-O-R-D. Everybody gets trimmed at Burford's. Okay, boys, right now we're gonna start things off here this morning with old Wichita, getting him up here at the mic playing Take Off Guitar. You got that thing tuned this morning, boy?
Yeah.
What you gonna do for us?
Honky Tonk Girl.
Honky Tonk Girl, there's a good one.
Drop down back to Cure D, boy.
Okay.
Don't be fooled by big blue eyes, by a smile or golden curls, for she'll love you now.
The one and only Road Hog. Okay, this still haunts them and Jerry Kennedy to this day. This was recorded in 1973, 20-something years ago. They've tried so hard to convince us that they were Road Hog, and even in the material, that they even have the researchers fooled. Put up the next one, Monica. This is a page from a work that you are familiar with, known as the Mercury Labels in 5 volumes. The entry is listed as Road Hog and the Cadillac Cowboys live at the Johnny Mac Brown High School. The note at the bottom says, above session was listed as by the Statler Brothers in master files, like he wasn't real sure. If you don't never heard it, or if you don't know the album, you don't know who it is. But Road Hog will never be forgotten. Jerry Kennedy related the story to me that he was in court, in U.S. District Court, in a bootlegging case. They swore him in. He sat down on the witness stand. The attorney stood up to ask him a question, and the judge said, excuse me, are you the Jerry Kennedy that Road Hog talks about? He said, yes, Your Honor, I am. He said, I couldn't deny if I wanted to. I was under oath. Even yet, he is often fondly remembered and often quoted.
Okay, mighty fine, mighty fine. Boys, mighty fine, mighty pretty.
Mighty fine, yes. Mighty pretty. Mighty fine, mighty pretty. This was never reissued until their 30th anniversary package in 1993, and it is currently available. It's in the CMF gift shop. I found it yesterday. Okay, the last category that I want to look at very quickly is gospel music. This is where they began. This is the backbone of their musical style. They have a policy that they always include one gospel song
when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound,
every TV show
and time shall be no more.
Even the Road Hog, the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, and do a number for their sick and shut in friends.
When the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, when the roll
yonder. When the road is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
I do have some copies of the Greenwood Press book news. If you would like, interested in ordering it, there's the coupon on the back that has the pre-publication discount. Any questions?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
According to the Country Music Foundation's Hall of Fame calendar, not too many days ago on the page of Lou DeWitt's birthday, they mentioned that after he left the Statler Brothers, he was legally prevented from mentioning them or making any references to that. Do you know anything about that?
No, I've tried real hard not to get into that. I didn't want to.
Just curious.
Yeah. I'd never heard anything about it. Yes, sir. The Blackwood Brothers. They have a song entitled The Blackwood Brothers by the Statler Brothers. And they talk about how when they were little boys, the Blackwood Brothers would come to town. And they bought every record, every album, every single. Their autographs were the only things free. And that's who they openly acknowledge, is the Blackwood Brothers. The Mercury Files?
Discography?
Okay. It was a bare bones outline. I've only found one thing in it that I did not find anywhere else. It showed me that I needed to look for something else, and I eventually did find it. And that was the fact that they had done a guest appearance on an album called Jerry Kennedy and Friends. About 1978, I believe. And they did a song on that album. And that's not under their name, it was under Jerry's name. So I wouldn't have known to look there. But I did find the Musicians Union contract for that session. There were some things wrong with it. Daryl Statler is not related to the Statler Brothers. So his material doesn't belong in their listings. And it was just bare bones. There were really no details and no information, really. Yes, sir.
Did you include broadcasts like government things, like guest star and things like that?
If I found documents for it, for them, I did not. And they didn't mention it when I talked to them.
Yeah. Also, is the Statler toilet paper story true?
It's a box of facial tissue. Yes.
Okay.
For those who don't know, they were known as the Kingsmen in and around Virginia, and they were rehearsing one day, and this was shortly after the song that became popular by the Kingsmen had hit the charts, and they found out they were going to have to change their name, and they were rehearsing in Harold's room one day. They said, well, we've got to find another name. And Harold looked across the room on his dresser, and there was a box of facial tissue that said Statler. He said, oh, we call ourselves the Statler Brothers. It's a good thing we weren't in the bathroom. It might have been the Toilet Paper Brothers. Any other questions? Yes, sir. It has in that they don't spend as much time in the studio anymore because they do write the shows themselves. Don and Harold actually write the scripts, and they spend a lot of time on that, and they're beginning to spend more time on the road. They want to do more concert shows than they have been doing. So they have not been in the studio since 94, but they are making plans to go back.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thank you.
Well, we are coming to our lunch break, and we have two good sessions scheduled after lunch. And a reminder, since I may not have the same gang here that I mentioned to earlier, banquet tonight is at 7 o'clock. It says 7:30 on your program. We've shifted it a half hour for our advantage. And other than that, come on back. Enjoy the afternoon sessions. Starts at 1:30 is when we are back in. 1:30, yeah. The afternoon session will begin at 1:30.